be the glory. To God be the glory. Beautiful offertory, I think, that truly does summarize this past year and definitely the year ahead. If you have your Bible, let me look again at that familiar passage that we have looked at numerous times during Advent. One verse, Luke chapter 2, verse 19. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. You know, I have long been enthralled with attics. The attic, you know, your home attic. And it just, maybe it's a pastor idiosyncrasy that all pastors have. Something about the attic has just amazed me. It's a little weird, maybe, and maybe I should join AA, Addicts Anonymous. But it is just something about the attic. When I was a child, we had a small attic. As a matter of fact, I remember when we put that flop down ladder. Oh, that was big. Rather than having to get the ladder and go through that little attic. Something about the attic was just thrilling to me. In the summer, it was so hot. In the winter, it was so cold. The attic in the home I grew up in really didn't have a flooring at all. And my mother would always say, it's not safe. I don't want you going up there. You'll step through the ceiling. Of course, I stepped through the ceiling. My father stepped through the ceiling. My brother stepped through the ceiling. That's just what you did in the attic. And your foot would go through. And your mother would say, I told you so. The attic. There wasn't much in our attic. Two boxes of Christmas decorations. A hat box that had the same bows that we used all of my life. We even used the same icicles year by year. They went up into the attic. Things that shouldn't be in the attic next to the heater were in the attic. Not much, just a small thing. Then I moved into the parsonages that Ray and I lived in, and you didn't dare go in the attic. There were too many skeletons in Baptist parsonage attics of preachers of days gone by, and maybe a deacon or so laying around in the attic. I don't remember much about the attic and the parsonages, but when we moved to our first home in San Antonio, we had a full attic, and we had little children, and we found the attic was a great place to put stuff in there until you move, and then you had to pull it all back out. But when we moved to San Marcos, we really began to use the attic. The attic was huge. You could almost stand up, and it had two lights, and it had two entrances to the attic. I spent those 14 years a lot of time going up into the attic. Truett would want to go, and I would say the same thing. It's not safe for you. You'll step through the roof. He never did, but he probably could have. And we put things in the attic. We put all the decorations from fall and for Easter and for Christmas, boxes and boxes in the attic. We had a bicycle in the attic and a wheelbarrow in the attic. Things that should never have gone up that little ladder went up that ladder into the attic. Those things you're going to use, you know, those old textbooks from college, put them in the attic. Those baby clothes that you know you're not going to have for generations, you put them in the attic. Boxes, empty boxes, that's one of my favorite things to put in the attic. Because when you need a box, you don't go to the attic. You just wait till the next time and you put more empty boxes in the attic. But we moved from San Marcos. The day the moving truck came, I fell right out of the attic onto a Rhea. I was so glad she was there to break my fall. So we moved to Waco. The house was built in 28, and so was the attic. It was huge in that old home. They had two big cedar closets inside of the attic. The home in Waco we lived in had an elevator at one time, and in that attic was the big old motor and all of this cable that had pulled up that elevator. It was really a spooky attic in Waco. It was so spooky when we moved to Lufkin, we didn't even clean it out. We forgot about it. The new owners then called us and said, do you want any of this stuff? And the great thing about having kids in college in Waco is we said, yes, go by the house and get that stuff. And Truett loaded his pickup and he said, well, I won't say exactly what he said, but why do you keep that stuff up in the attic? And now in Lufkin, we have an attic. I seldom go in the attic. I'll mention more about it in a little bit. But when you're in your mid-50s, it's not good. I had a church member once that right after Christmas fell out of his attic, broke his neck. Boom. So I don't climb the attic a lot these days. That was not a good funeral to do. So all that attics. But this week, some already probably in this room, maybe today before the Arctic blizzard attacks us, at least between now and next Sunday, many of you will journey to the attic. You'll take the plunge, or maybe you'll climb the stairs. Because Christmas and Advent is over. Thus, it's time to go back to the attic. Yes, it's time to pack away those Christmas things that you got out just weeks ago. It's time to rearrange the furniture in the living room the way it was meant to be. It's time for life to get back to normal. Advent is over. Those four Sundays that led to Christmas Eve last Sunday, it's over. But this text, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. In the midst of Luke chapter 2, the birth narrative, verse 19, in the midst of that story that we know, that we love, that we've read, that we've reflected on this last month, in the midst of noisy shepherds, while Jesus was still asleep in the hay, right there, Mary stops and ponders and treasures up these things. Pondered, Webster says, is to consider deeply. To ponder is to weigh carefully in one's mind and heart. To ponder is to consider thoughtfully again. Verse 19, but Mary treasured up and pondered. But you know she did. She pondered, could this really have happened? The angel Gabriel came to me those 9 months ago and told me I would have a child, and how could it be? I did not know. And how did the angel? And I said, yes, Lord, I am your servant, let it be. She pondered as she made her way to Elizabeth and then came and told her parents, we need to talk. She pondered as her parents engulfed her and loved her and accepted her, though they weren't sure about all of this Holy Spirit conception. I'm sure she pondered as she went to Joseph and said, Joseph, I have to tell you. And he said, wait, let me tell you. I've had a dream from an angel. And together they pondered what God was up to. I'm sure she pondered those weeks, those months, and then that crazy census that they would have to journey. The time was not good to journey from Nazareth down to Jerusalem, to Bethlehem, but they did. And then she pondered no room in the inn. Stable, cold, hay, fresh, baby coming, baby here. Swaddling clothes. Angels sing, shepherds gawk. And in the midst of it all, Mary treasures up all those things and ponders in her heart. Luke chapter 2, that one verse leapt out at me this week. You see, Mary realized, though maybe she didn't totally realize, that her life would never be the same. Never, ever would her life be the same. A baby changes your life forever. Can I get an amen? Our babies will be 23 in January and 21 in March, and they change your life forever. They've been here for a week, and I've never taken out more trash in all of my life. The dishwasher has stayed full. Their rooms are a muck. I hope they don't live like that in Waco. Babies change your life forever. I talked to John yesterday, and it's like he had read my sermon when he said, "Will I ever sleep through the night again?" And I said, "Nope." Babies change your life forever. And Jesus will change your life forever as well. And just like Mary, your life and my life, once we've been consumed with Jesus, our life will never be the same. Jesus, born this baby, Jesus, born that we might be born again, born anew. Nicodemus said, "How can this be?" As Jesus explained to him that new birth. Jesus lived that we too might live, not just life, breath, but living abundantly. "I've come that you might have life abundant, life full of freedom and grace." Jesus lived that we might have new life. He was born that we might be born again. And he died that we would never die, but that life everlasting, life eternal, could be ours when we trusted and believed in him. Ponder that. Like Mary, ponder and treasure up what life is because of the birth of that baby. Yes, Advent and Christmas 2017 is over. Back to the attic, Coach, probably today. Pat, you need to go. But don't pack away Jesus. The glory and majesty of Christmas. Don't pack away the wonder and beauty of this Advent season. I'm afraid we tend to do that. I'm afraid as we put up those wreaths, what do you do with a wreath? Where do you store a wreath but in the attic? I'm afraid as we put up the boxes and the lights that are half broken, I'm afraid as we put them away in the attic, that we tend to put Jesus away as well. Let's not pack it up. Remember that hope? Hope. That first Sunday of Advent, in the midst of despair, in the midst of trial, in the midst of tribulation, hope. Hope that lives, that breathes, that gives us reason to keep going. Hope that's found in Christ. Don't pack it away. The second Sunday of Advent, we share peace. Peace that the world does not understand. The world cannot comprehend the peace that is ours as followers of Jesus Christ. Peace in the midst of turmoil. Peace when life is not what we would want. Peace when life is chaotic. "It is well with my soul," we say. Peace, God's peace. Don't pack it away. Joy. Third Sunday of Advent, joy. Not happiness. Not happiness. Katie did the children's sermon. Joy doesn't mean we're happy. Joy is deeper. Joy is sustaining. Joy in the midst of whatever there is. Joy. The shepherds heard the angels proclaim tidings of great joy. Joy is fudge, I said. And I've had enough fudge, by the way. And I have been grateful for all the fudge that you have given me. I also like ribeye steak, but joy, that was not because of hope, peace, Joy Hall, you want to help me with this one? And love. The love that we experience at Advent. The world does seem nicer. On Christmas Day, did you listen? When presents were opened and you stopped and listened, the young child said, and what do you hear? You hear love. No, don't pack it away. Keep the gifts. Keep the theme of Advent. And most of all, don't pack Jesus away. I'm afraid our world sees Christmas as an event that begins on Black Friday. And we hear the themes, hope and joy, peace and love. We know the story so well. We know Luke 2. I beg of you, don't box it away. But Mary treasured up these things in the midst of that Luke 2 Christmas story of shepherds and angels and a baby, and she pondered them all. So my Lufkin attic, it is pretty empty. I did look. There are boxes that the McLaurins left when they moved to Baltimore, and they're empty. And so I've added empty boxes to their boxes. And that's about all that's in our attic these days. But there are a few heirlooms, I would say. Heirlooms. Adlin's Dollhouse. Santa brought it many years ago. It is a great dollhouse. It is big. She tried to cram Truett in it when he was a baby. It's a big dollhouse. It has beds and furniture and little people. And it's half open. And it's wonderful. It stays in the attic, but maybe one day I'll get it down and let someone play with it. It is a wonderful dollhouse. Also in the attic, in love, it is Truett's tricycle. I don't make them like that anymore. It is red, steel, iron, metal, not plastic. It came from Western Auto. It is one big tricycle. Heavy. It's an heirloom. My favorite I'm in the attic is over 70 years old. It's my high chair. My dad built the high chair when my oldest sister was to be born. My dad could build anything. And he built this heavy wooden high chair with two squirrels eating an apron on the back of it. All of it wooden, beautiful. It has more coats of lead paint on it than you can imagine. My oldest sister, my brother, my next sister, and finally me, 55 years ago, 54, 53, 50 years ago, sat in that chair. All four children. And then it started on the grandkids, 10 grandchildren. All the great-grandchildren when they would come to my parents. Because I'm the baby, I got it. It just ended up in my house because my kids were younger than most of the great-grandkids. And if my parents were still alive, day before yesterday, they would have had their first great-great-grandchild. My siblings asked whatever happened to the high chair, and I just don't say a word. They probably know. On Christmas Eve, Walker and Caitlin's daughter, Hazel Jane, sat in the high chair and ate tamales, as all good Lufkin children should do. And I look forward to the day when John and Angie's daughter, Esther Lynn, will sit in that high chair as well. Yes, my attic has some memories, some heirlooms. But Jesus isn't packed away in that attic. And I hope you don't pack him away in your attic either. For Jesus is more than an heirloom to me. Amy Grant sang it. Listen to this song. Heirlooms. It has music. You're going to have to figure that out.
Down on my knees, lifetime.
So may Advent and Christmas 2017 be put away, but let us not go up to the attic and leave the themes, the hope, the peace, the joy, the love. Don't put Jesus in the attic today.